It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In chapter 4 of the book of John, we've seen two miracles. We saw how that Jesus had turned the water into wine, and also how that a nobleman's son had been healed. These were the first two miracles that Jesus did. And now we look into John chapter 5, and it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Remember now, he had left Cana, Galilee, and now he's going to Jerusalem. Now, there was a feast, and this was probably the Passover. And I can't be certain about this, but it was probably the Passover. And there were two other feasts, of course, and we read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, in our last lesson. And once again, the other two feasts have been the Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. And these feasts where all the males were required to be present. It might have been one of them, in other words, one of these feasts. I can't say for certain which feast it was, but it's of no consequence, however, which of them is intended, because the important thing is that Jesus went there. He went up to the Feast of the Jews, to Jerusalem. And then we go into verse 2 of John chapter 5. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Well, verse 2, the sheep market. Well, this might have been, once again, we might look at it like this, as the sheep gate, or the gate through which the sheep were taken into the city for sacrifice. And when we look into this, we see that a sheep gate is repeatedly mentioned by Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1, where it says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. And then in chapter 12 and verse 39, it says, and now this is Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 39. And from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the lower of Hananiel, and the tower of Mia, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. Now, if you want to do a study, go and study the gates that were present in Jerusalem. You'll see there's the fish gate, the sheep gate, and so forth. And each one of them had a different job. In other words, they were there for a certain purpose. Now, these sheep would have been brought in mainly, I suppose, for sacrifice. And the gate was doubtless near the temple. And once again, near the present place, which is shown as the pool of Bethesda. And let's go back and read that verse. In verse 2, it says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate, or the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now notice the pool. This word may either mean a small lake or pond, and this is one in which one could swim, or place for fish, or any waters collected for bathing or washing. And you notice in that verse, in verse 2 of John 5, it talks about the Hebrew tongue. This would be the Hebrew language. And this would actually be the language that was spoken at that time, and it didn't differ essentially from the ancient Hebrew. Well, notice the word Bethesda in that verse. The word Bethesda means the house of mercy. And it was called this because of the fact of the strong healing properties of the lake, or of the pool, the water there, the property of restoring health to the sick and the infirm. And it talks about five porches in that verse. Well, the word porch commonly means a covered place surrounding a building. And this would be where people can walk or sit in the hotter, wet weather. In other words, they could take shelter there. Now, according to verse 3, on these porches, there were these people lying about. And verse 3 says, in these, that's the porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And I believe that it made no difference, once again, how bad the person was. He couldn't walk. He was there. He or she was there to receive a healing. And they would probably try to beat each other into the water. They would do anything they could to get into the water before the other person could get there. Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Well, this, once again, people, they were desperate. They were crippled. They couldn't walk, some of them. Maybe some of them had a skin disease. Maybe some of them, well, I don't know. They were just very sick, and they needed something. They needed healing. And verse 5 says, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. In other words, he was suffering for 38 years. And verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Well, the impotent man, verse 7, answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Remember, I made mention how that they were, it was like a battle trying to get into that pool. Verse 8 says, Jesus saith unto him, this is the man of 38 years infirmity, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, Jesus once again is performing a miracle here, and people are going to see this. Verse 9 of John 5 says, and immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Well, we see now that something's taking place here with the Jews. They didn't like what Jesus did. They didn't like the ministry that God was using here. Jesus is God. Verse 10 says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Now remember, this man had an infirmity for 38 years. He was suffering for 38 years. And now he stood up and he was carrying his bed. And the Jews said, it's not lawful for you to do that. He then answered them, verse 11, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Now he was going to do what Jesus told him to do because Jesus had healed him. He said, he told me to do it, and he healed me. Verse 12 says, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? In other words, they wanted an occasion to accuse someone, and this someone, of course, was Jesus. Verse 13 says, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. There were so many people there that Jesus got away from the pool, and the man who was healed, he didn't even know the man who had healed him. But he said, the man told me, the one who healed me said, take up your bed and walk. In verse 14, it says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Now he finds this man who had been healed and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest worse thing come unto thee. Well, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, according to verse 15. Verse 16 says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine a man being healed who was infirmed for 38 years suffering? Jesus healed him, and now they're accusing Jesus of doing something wrong on the Sabbath day. They persecuted Jesus. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, Jesus is God. He is equal with the Father. He has the authority. He is God. But these people, they did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. They did not recognize Jesus as God. They did not recognize him as the Son of God. Now, when we get in and we start talking about the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit, my finite mind cannot comprehend everything. I simply take God at his word. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all equal. They're all God, but they're one. When I say they, I'm speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you would, they have different ministries. They do something different from the other two. Each one does something different. But no matter what man thinks, God is God. Man cannot destroy God. And these people were trying to destroy Jesus Christ. But we read so many places, so many times in the Word of God, where the Jews tried to kill Jesus, and the Bible makes it plain that it was not yet time for Jesus to give his life. Well, Jesus is God, and he made himself equal with God because he is God. And these people, they really got upset, and they wanted to kill him because his Father, he was making himself equal with God the Father. Well, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. In other words, he can't do anything except what the Father says to do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Well, Jesus came to carry out the Father's wishes. The Bible tells us once again in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that whosoever would believe on him would be saved. And it says that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father sent Jesus so that mankind could be saved, so that mankind would not spend eternity in a devil's hell. Jesus was carrying out his Father's wishes. And just before he went to the cross, we know that he prayed. And he said, If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He was talking to God the Father. He said, Let this cup pass from me. Once again, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, he was ready to do what God the Father wanted him to do. And you and I, as saved people today, we need to be ready to do what God wants us to do. And we can do something that no other individual can do. We are people of God. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent God, the creator of all things. And we need to do what he wants us to do and serve him. Let him lead and guide us and do what he wants us to do. And the main thing I believe he wants us to do is love individuals. As we love them, that means that we're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. We love them just as God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. We need to send Jesus from the Word of God to the people so that Jesus can touch their hearts, so that they too, like us, can be saved and on their way to heaven. May God bless you as you serve him and do his will.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.